We want to welcome everybody, especially our online campus. Normally at this time, I come out here and I have a little podium and I have my little notes and everything. And I tell you to make sure to download our app, which by the way, you should. And you can keep updated on things, which you can. But you can also open today's sermon notes, which you can't. And and the reason why is earlier this week, every time I thought about the sermon, it kept changing. And so if you open up the sermon notes, you basically see a paragraph that says, hey, there's no sermon notes. But there's a good reason why, but it's all made up to basically tell you this. I wasn't sure what I wanted to say yet. And so I just kind of been waiting. And then Christmas came, and I was still waiting. And then this morning came. Still waiting. So here's what I'm just going to ask of you. As I've thought about today, how do you do a final sermon in 2020 to wrap up the year? Like, it feels impossible. And then can I really give you one single thought that you can carry into next year that'll radically change your life, transform your thinking, and get you motivated to what we may be facing and most likely will be facing in the year 2021? And I thought, no, can't do that either. So we're going to have a 30-minute prayer meeting. Everyone get ready, start, go now. That's laughing, that's not praying. That's something entirely different. So I'm just going to ask you for permission to just kind of process out loud for a little bit, and we'll stop after a while. And that's pretty much the thought. And if, by the way, if you're a guest here today and you're thinking, oh my gosh, like I came to a church that the pastor doesn't have a sermon prepared. Yes, that's exactly where you came. But don't worry, this rarely happens. Like normally we're really organized. And I can tell you how organized we are. How organized are you? Like, see, I wasn't even ready for that joke. Okay, so like starting next week, we're going to have a month of praying for our church. And week number one, we're going to talk about the men of the church. And how many have some men? Men, how many of you in your life, you would like to have someone praying for you? Or ladies, is there some man out there that you would like to be praying for them to find God in their destiny in their life? So we're going to do that for the first week. And then the second week after that, we're going to pray for the women. Men, I'm going to set you up for trouble. How many want to pray for their women right now? Like, see, if you hear that wrong, you'd be like, yes, Lord, fix her. That's not what I'm saying. Because we did that on week number one. And so thank you for that, sir. And so, yeah, it will be, so week number two is going to be women. Week number three, we're going to talk about the next generation, specifically the teenage kind of age range. And how many have teenagers and pray all the time for them and for your sanity? Give me an amen. I know you want to right now. Teens, you heard it. It's true. But Pastor Aaron's actually going to be preaching that week. And then after that, we're going to talk about the NAV kids that are going to be joining us in a little bit for baptism. We're going to be praying for the next generation. And then the final week, we're going to talk about those in our lives that we would love them to find Jesus. And as a church, we're going to pray for the men, the women, the teens, the kids, and those that need to be found. See, we're organized. We know what we want to do, except for today. And so we do have plans. And so the other thing we thought about doing today is sharing vision with you. Because how many like to hear vision and like, here's what we're doing and where we're going and why we're doing it. But the problem is, our vision for this next year is one word, engagement. And I thought taking 40 minutes to talk on one word is just way too long. It's engagement. There's your vision talk for 2021. We want people to be engaged and not just attending church on a Sunday morning, because one thing 2020 taught us, we have an entire online campus right now that is attending, but they're not in the building. So engagement can't mean showing up and participating in big corporate events. It has to be bigger than that, because here's what 2020 also taught us. I don't know why I'm holding this right now. I don't actually need a drink. And apparently I'm going to process everything out loud. And so one of the things that 2020 taught us is that one third of people that were attending church before 2020, they have left church, and according to Barna and a handful of different surveys and research out there, that one third never plan on attending church again. So my question is attendance engagement? How engaged are you with your faith because you show up on a Sunday morning? But what does engagement look like, especially in a generation where you can click a button and follow us? click a button and attend. How many have now started changing the way you do meetings for your work? And it's through Zoom, it's through FaceTime, it's through interactive stuff. How many of you used to go into the office 7 to 7 every single day, but now you can roll out of the bed as long as you have a nice looking shirt on, you probably still have your, hopefully, pajama bottoms on, and you all had the same thought I did, see? We're praying together again, or laughing. And so even the way we attend meetings, so can't that change a little bit when it comes to church? And how does engagement look in the year 2021? And what if another shutdown occurs? But what does engagement do for you? And so we have that whole vision and things we want to do in 2021. So then I decided I'd put the gray title. Here's what pastors do. We come up with really cool titles. TGIO, thank God it's over. The year 2020. It's done. We're coming to the end of it. Thank God it's over. And then I started thinking, is it? See, for me, I have a false paradigm, I believe, that goes like this. January 1st is a magical date and everything can change because the calendar does. Right? Because I was not interested in losing that weight, but I know come January 1st, something magical is going to happen and I'm going to have the willpower that I've lacked for the last 9 months of my life, and come January 1st, I will turn the corner in order to lose the weight. Is there anybody else that knows exactly what I'm talking about? You've been eating this whole past week, and you're saying to yourself, don't worry, I'm going to start dieting soon. And that is what's going to be put on your gravestone one day. Died of a heart attack, but one day they're going to start dieting soon. That was a very morbid joke. I'll give you that one. Like that went dark quickly. And so, but then here's the thing. It's all right. Let's go ahead and spend our money this month. We'll put Christmas on a credit card. Come January, we're going to get our finances in order, right? Because there's a magical date when it comes to January 1st, and we're going to turn the corner. So now 2020 is coming to an end, and let's be honest, most of this year has stunk. You've been put out. You've been annoyed. How many have started a conversation that didn't start with the phrase of, so have you got COVID? Have you been exposed to COVID? How's work changed because of COVID? Tell me every conversation you have now doesn't start with the phrase COVID one way or another. But somehow January 1st, 2020 is over. It's done. And here's why I'm not sure I can say the phrase, thank God it's over. Because as I look back in history, we usually don't mark our history with years. We mark them with decades. How did you dress in the 80s? You didn't look good. You didn't look good. Yeah, you said you looked good. You didn't look good. I'll go ahead and tell you now you didn't. Someone over here said that. It was a female voice. Wow. 1 to 3. I know. I told you I'm just talking out loud. You can't feed me and it'll happen. Okay, so ready for the... You may say, well, I didn't dress like that in all the 80s, just like 83, 84, but somehow it gets what? It gets lumped together in one big pile. What about the music of the 90s? Okay. Well, you know, I feel like for some of you older people, sex, drug, rock and roll, 60s and 70s. There was a lot happening. Like, we'll go ahead and throw those two together. So something happens, could I say this, in almost like blocks of time. And so this is about ready to get really depressing. Ready for this? Did 2020 mark the end of a season or the beginning of a season? And I honestly don't know. So one of two things is going to occur. 1 year from now, we can come back, listen to this sermon, and you'll go, man, that guy had it really wrong. Please, Lord. Or here's the other option. That dude was prophetic. Like, that was amazing. That was such insight. That was so visionary. Because here's the thing. I don't think January 1 hits and a couple things happen. I don't think, number one, January 1 hits and all of a sudden the racism problem that we have in our nation and the divide that we're seeing goes away because January 1 hits the calendar. I could be wrong, and I would love to be wrong with that. I don't think January 1 hits and all of a sudden COVID, or can I say this, disease is taken care of. I don't think it hits and all of a sudden. Now this one, I'm going to step out on a limb. You may not agree with me. You may want to just boo me off the stage. I don't think January 1st hits and politicians start getting along. I could be way out on a limb on this one. I don't think, and this is not an indictment, this is kind of a fact of life, when it comes to America right now and the amount of money we spend on a regular basis, both as a nation and as individuals, I don't think January 1 hits and we now know and live with fiscal responsibility. Should I keep going with the other list of things that I'm not sure January 1st fixes? January 1st changes? Or is January 1st the next day in the season that we're currently living in? And so in talking about these seasons, there's one scripture, and I do actually have a scripture for you today, because there's one scripture I haven't been able to get off of my mind and out of my heart all week long, and it comes out of Matthew chapter 13. And so if you download our app and open up our notes, you won't find this, so you're going to have to write this yourself. Jesus is sitting around talking with his disciples and doing a teaching, and he says this, Jesus told another parable. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seeds in his field. So this is a guy who's going out to plant his fields, and he chooses to pick the best seeds possible. He doesn't get a hybrid thing. He doesn't get a mixture thing. He wants to just plant corn. He wants to just plant wheat. How many in your life say this? I want to plant good things in my life. Okay, so you just went and got your choice seeds. So this man goes out, but while everyone was sleeping, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seeds in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed seeds of weeds among the wheat and went away. So it's nothing that you did, but somehow in the world around you has some thorny issues popping up. And when the weeds sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Why? Because you didn't know it was growing alongside, because how many people can look at individual seeds and go, this is what I'm actually planting? About 2 weeks ago, something interesting happening in my house. I think I'm a good dad, and I try to be a good dad. And an argument or disagreement broke out amongst the family involving my wife and one of my children. And my wife, how many moms out there, how many there's times that you raise your voice to a certain tone or tenure in order to get the children's attention? Okay, so you can raise your hand. Be proud of that. Just, I got to yell at them brats sometime. Okay, so it's out there. So my wife, in a peaceful, louder tone, said sternly something back to one of my children. And my children looked and said, Mom, you don't have to go to a 10. See, you think this is a kid problem. The problem is when I heard him say that, because my daughter wouldn't have been smart enough to know how to say this yet, but when I heard him say that, I heard someone else's voice, mine. Because there's times that I like saying the phrase, hey, you have to go to a 10 on this. And I thought I was sowing some good seeds into my children. Because it all looked the same. Until the day a son says to the mom, Mom, you ain't got to go to a 10 on this. Don't think I want to plant that seed anymore. But you don't know it while you're sowing it. You only see it after what? It crops out. And that was a really crappy situation that I was in. I didn't cuss. Did you hear cussing? That's your issue. Find Jesus. So the owner said to Jesus, the owner, yeah, that entertained me. I'll be honest with you. So the owner's servant came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did all these weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servant, go ask him, do you want us to go and pull them up? Pull what up? The weeds. Because we got wheat, we got tares, and we need to, how do we separate the two? And the owner said this, no. He goes, because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat also. You may pull out the good when you're trying to get rid of the bad. So let's do this. In the year 2021, in the year 2022, let's do this. Let's let both things grow up together until harvest. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, bun them, tie them up, And we're going to burn those, but then we'll gather the wheat and bring them into the barn. Why do we want to burn the one? Because this plant, these seeds, this fruit isn't something that we want to reproduce ever again. But then I want to bundle up the wheat and the harvest. I'm taking it into the barn, not to take it in the barn just so that we consume it, because there's going to be another planting season coming up, and we want to do our best job to pull the best seeds out and throw those seeds. So let's get rid of the wheat, or get rid of the tares. We'll keep the wheat. And so in looking at the year 2020, in looking at the year coming up 2021, I would ask you this question. Do you think in our society, do you think in our world, do you think in your life, there's been some things that some weeds have grown up, some tares have grown up around you, and if you're honest with yourself, you probably didn't have very much to do with it. It's the hand you've been dealt, it's the field that you've been working, it's the life that you have to till. So what do you do with it? Do we just get rid of COVID? Well, that would be nice, but let's be honest, it's impractical. And how do we actually do that in our current world? And then we say things like this. Well, this is just kind of an interruption to our life. What if this is actually a disruption to the way we should be living? When we just had a whole conversation a couple months ago, and if you're kind of new to Navigation Church, you can download the app, you can go back and watch it. We did this whole hurry series when we talked about this hurry culture that we're living in and going and going and going and going. And I have to be honest, this past Christmas, this past Thanksgiving, to slow down and enjoy the family has been fantastic. To not have to get to the next thing and the next obligation and the next party and the next event and the do kind of mentality we're living in. And so should this disrupt the rhythm that we were living in anyway? But then what do you do when the wheat and the tares are growing up together? How do you handle that in your life? When do you pull it? When do you harvest it? Well, when it comes to 2021, I have no idea. We have a couple options. Number one option is that the two plants are in a season where it's time to harvest and we're about ready to see what the good and the bad are. There's a chance we're still living in the growing season, the growing philosophies. And by the way, I don't mind saying some of them. Ready? Here's one for you. Growing philosophy that you can continue spending way more than you make. You can write massive, call it stimulus checks or anything else that you want to call it. And all of a sudden, that debt isn't pushed off. That's a philosophy out there. When it comes to gender, that it's fluid, that it can switch. This is a brand new philosophy. This is a brand new worldview being introduced to our world, and we don't know if it's good, bad, right, or wrong. Now, if you come from a biblical worldview, you can probably give a pretty good opinion about it, but it's a philosophy that's being thrown out there. We've seen what the effects of racism can do to a nation, but for some reason, it's back. It's here. Like, why is it at this level? Well, you can say, well, it's always been here. May I just say, and this is David's white perspective, I didn't grow up with a racist family. If you were to ask me if racism was in America, I would have said no, because I wasn't living it. But now in the culture that we're living, it's everywhere all the time. So apparently my eyes need to be open to something new. But then how do we handle it? What does it look like? A lot of these things are just practicing. So are we still in a growing season? Man, this is supposed to be like a pump you up sermon. I feel like this sucks so far. I'll say it out loud. Like, I came here because I thought we were doing baptism. I'm about to tag Pastor Brenton and just have him come and get you all fired up. Like, I'm feeling depressed right now. But I think the reason I'm feeling depressed is because of the moment that I'm living in versus the view I should be taking. And here's what I mean by that. So I love God and what he does for my life when I can look back and see that he did it. I can't stand God when I'm living in the moment of my life and I don't see what he's doing. Can anyone know what I'm talking about there? Okay. And so for me right now, and by the way, I'm just going to talk out loud for a second, and I'm sure the elders and everyone's going to be mad at the end of this, because I'm just going to talk out loud. Okay, so for years now, we've been trying to sell this complex. this complex, a building next door, 9 acres that we're sitting on. We believe God's calling us to a different location. And we have been in a interesting contractual season, if we can say it like that. But it appears that that contract is getting really close to closing. Now, it was supposed to close over a year ago. And I remember sitting in that season being so mad at God and just cannot believe that we're not closing on this building. We're ready to get over. The moment we no longer own this building, thousands of dollars. I'll tell you the number. I'll tell you. We spend over $23,000 a year just to have insurance for this place because it's so big and it's old and stuff could just fall. So I would not sit in that section, just FYI, like ever. So they don't believe me. Okay, so online, you're the safest people that can be there. So I just remember like being so frustrated because God, we're not closing. And now we renegotiated and lawyers are getting involved. Lawyers are expensive. How many have good lawyers? And if you're like, I'm not sure, how much do you pay? That will tell you, okay? It's like, so we had all these, but I can look back and I can absolutely thank God that he did not allow us to close on this facility for over a year ago. And here's why. Because a little over a year ago, and if you don't know my story, I'm someone who suffers from a disease known as alcoholism. Alcoholism is where you have an allergic reaction every time you put alcohol in your body. And here's the allergic reaction. You overdrink, you destroy relationships, and your spirituality goes out the window. It's a horrible allergic reaction. But I have this disease that many call alcoholism. And a little over a year ago, I had to take 3 months off of work to try to check myself and get right with myself, my family, my God. And I look back and I think, God, could you imagine if we would have closed on this facility and announced that we were starting a multi-million dollar search for a new complex? And oh, by the way, the lead pastor is gone for 3 months. God, thank you for protecting me. And there was... There's actually a time at home. I was with my wife, and my wife asked me the most pointed question maybe in the history of our marriage. She said, David, do you think the reason the building hasn't closed is because God knows if it did right now, it would destroy you? And is God waiting to close on this campus until you fix what's wrong with you? So I look back and I just say, thank God for that. Then, let's fast forward a little bit. Could you imagine if we did close and if we got through my issues, we would be getting really close to having a brand new complex? And could you imagine doing a grand opening right in the middle of COVID? Worst marketing campaign of all times. Come out and see us. Just don't touch us, right? Like, we want to see your smiling mask. I don't know what phrases we would have come up with, but we would have been trying to close on a new building, remodel it, build it, whatever God has for us. And now I look back and I go, God, thank you. Thank you. We're not in the middle of people. Can we go to stores and buy things? Are stores able to ship you anything? Are they out of stock because everyone's shopping online? It would have been a nightmare trying to do all this. And I can now look back and I can thank God because at that season, he protected us so that we could live healthy in this season. Now, God, I trust your seeds. I trust what you're doing in our life. But then here's the crazy thing. It's easy to say thank God when you look back over time. But what about when you live currently in time? Because currently in time, we're supposed to be closing pretty soon. But wouldn't you know it? You ready for this? This is where I'm going to get in trouble because I'm giving you way too much information. This past week, the buyer decides to be an idiot again. And yeah, I said it like that. And so I know, I hear you. Well, we won't edit it. I don't care. You're like, I have a contract. I'm safe. And so like, all of a sudden, well, we need to try this and we need to try to do that. And lawyers have to get all involved. And once again, I'm just sitting here going, God, are you kidding me? I'm supposed to be sitting at a closing table X date from now. I'm supposed to be doing this. And now here we are once again adjusting it. And I find that in this current season, I have no faith to trust God in what he's going to do when it comes to the building. I know you did it back then, but there's no way you can do it now. If you only knew what I was living under, God. But I have a plan, Lord.
I got so much good seed, God.
Those are my mints. So if anyone says hi earlier and halitosis is going, you should just know why. Like, God, I have good seeds, and I'm about to go to a 10 on you. Like, see, resentment towards anything happens because of expectations that we put. My expectations aren't met, so now I resent. But if I'm having resentment, it's because something hasn't gone my way and I don't trust that it'll be for my best outcome. You know what trust is? Let's replace that word with faith. If I don't have enough trust or faith in God to take care of this situation, then I'll have resentment towards it. And resentment all started because I had an expectation that God was needed to do this in the right time period. Because I sowed the right seeds. But wouldn't we know that there's actually an enemy that would like to spoil your harvest? He wants to spoil your harvest. He wants to spoil what you can take. He wants to spoil what you can grow. He wants to spoil what God has for you. And he'll come and he'll start sowing all these other seeds. And out of these seeds, you look and you go, I've done everything right. Why am I having to live with this? Because it's life. Life's going to sow things. Life's going to give you things that you don't want and that you don't have. So then what do I do with this harvest? What do I do with this wheat? Because God, we want to get a new building. And in order to get a new building, we're going to change the world. Because when it comes to Christianity is all about doing massive acts that change the whole world in one foul swoop. No, it's not actually. Actually, that's 100% wrong. Actually, here's how bad that thinking is. That's the exact thinking that the disciples had sitting around with fire with Jesus when they're like, hey, when are you going to overthrow the Roman government? Hey, when can we get you your throne? Hey, man, can I sit on the throne next to you? This whole philosophy that we have to do these major acts in order to have this huge impact for the kingdom of God so that Jesus can sit on some ethereal throne in this world around us, and this entire thing that everything to do with this building, everything to do with 2020, everything going into 2021. I would say this, we need to stop trying to fix the world around us and worry on fixing ourselves. And when we fix ourselves, there's a chance we start fixing the world around us. Or else, we're going to sit here in a place of resentment because we don't trust, and our trust erodes at our faith. So what does 2021 look like for us? How about instead of huge acts, and by the way, this is not a political statement. If you hear it like this, you completely missed. It's not one vaccine coming out, now we've taken care of this and it's all good. It's not one stimulus check taking care of this and we're all good. It's not one speech and we're taking care of this and it's all good. It's not one job that you get and now your finances are taken out and you're all good. It's not one sit-down conversation with your spouse and it's all good. You know what it is? It's the little steps, day by day, of sowing the correct seeds, and when the good and the bad have come together, having the wisdom to know what to keep and what to bury, what to store and what to burn, what to take into your barn. Why? Because in a new day, in a different day, this is what I'm gonna sow back out into the world around. And for some reason, when it comes to God's blessing, it's easy to look into your past and say, God was faithful then, how about now? But how can we begin living in this moment? Because I have a newsflash for you, and I really think I'm right on this. I don't think January 1st changes anything. I really don't. I think it's going to feel like December 1st. So how do we live in that moment? And what if we did this going into the year 2021? What if we said this, God, rather than me trying to fix Washington, rather than me than trying to fix the medical system, rather than me fixing my office, rather than me fixing that school, rather than me fixing universities, God, what can I do to fix me when things aren't going my way, to get a U-type perspective on it in order for, rather than resentment, for me to have faith? And here's why I think this is the most probable answer to our 2021. And by the way, I'm about to say a phrase, and I know you guys well enough that right after I say it, you're going to say amen. So ready for this? Ready for this? Get ready. Get ready. Warm up. I know you're tired from worship. You're sore. Okay, here we go. There's a lot of setup for this comment, isn't it? Okay. Here we go. Here we go. Here it is. What was it I was going to say? Completely forgot by now. No. No. And I do remember, because I do believe it. Ready for this? God's still moving. Jeez, that was horrible. Now I have disappointment with your amen, so I'm going to give it a go. Let you guys give another shot at it. When it comes to the world around us, if you can meet, if you're on an online campus or if you're sitting here, I don't care if we can't have regular meetings in this next, you know what we planned in January? Every Wednesday night, we're going to have a prayer meeting right here, praying for our men, praying for our women, praying for our teens, praying for our kids, and praying for the lost. Like, we're going to come together and have corporate time, and you're going to have prayer. Like, if you can't make that, if you can make that, if you're having to work all the time, if you just got laid off, if you're ready to look for a new job, go to school, should I marry him, her, you don't know what to do, everything in your world can be completely turned upside down. But I can tell you this right now, ready for this? God is still moving. Amen. That's what I was looking for. Online, give me a little smiley face. I don't know why you have to type that much for a smiley face, but just give me a little smiley face. That's a lot of typing. And clearly I don't know where the home key is, or home row, home base, whatever that term is. So here's why I believe God is still moving. Because I'm consistently getting testimonies from people of God moving, and it has nothing to do with this building. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to be doing water baptism, and in doing the water baptism, there's a handful of people being baptized that were never, ever saved, because I said this one day, if you're here today and you're ready to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, with all eyes closed, and you're just raise your hand so we can see it. There are people that know Jesus, not because of a salvation call I made, but because of a Bible given. Because of a conversation had. Today I get the opportunity, and you may say, well, Pastor, your son knows Jesus because you're a pastor. No, my son knows Jesus because we talk about God outside of this building. Because Jesus isn't an add-on to our life. Jesus is our life. But there was an amazing day sitting at the house where having a conversation with my oldest boy. And by the way, every time we do baptisms here, every one of my kids wants to get in the hot tub. It's a hot tub, by the way. Don't make no mistake. I've been baptized and baptized people in cold water. Jesus did not call us to that. Let's get that bad boy up to at least room temperature and it'd be comfortable. Thank you. Thank you. Next building, heated floors. That's how we're doing it. That might not be true. That I can't make that promise. I can't promise anything when it comes to a new building, apparently. So making me go to a 10. And so, by the way, if we do have NAV merch, I feel like you're taking me to a 10. I feel like that should be like this. No one's writing it down. Okay, we got one person made to order. You need to help me with that t-shirt. You're sending it to a 10. And so, where was I at? So we're at home with our boy having an amazing conversation. And in that I know what I was saying. Every time we do water baptisms, I'm back. Every time we do water baptisms, every one of my kids wants to be baptized every single time. It's getting in a pool and playing. Like, how would you not want to do that? But the thing is, as parents, it's not our job just to get them wet. It's our job to help them make their public declaration of faith when they're ready for it. And so every time we've done baptisms, the question always remains to save. Tell me about forgiveness. Tell me about salvation. Tell me, and it's not a mental thing, it's a heart thing. If you read the Beatitudes, step number one, it starts in your spirit. And then, the head thing is the fourth step. You may not even get what you're doing for a long period of time, but everything inside of you knows that it's right. And so sitting talking with my son, Judah, and he shared,
We had a war.
Okay. Yeah, that story's staying private. So. Got a text message. Said, hey, be praying for me. I want to go talk to someone about God. And as of today, this individual's been sober for 1,683 days. And the reason we know that number is because 1,683 days ago, he went to prison. So it's a pretty set date. We're aware of it. Came out of prison, came to church here. Of all the gin joints and all the land. I don't know the whole line. I realized it after I started it. Came to church here because I randomly saw him on a soccer field one time and he knew I was genuine when I asked him the question, how are you doing today? Comes here, comes to the church and gets saved the first Sunday he's here. Within a couple weeks, comes back, gets water baptized. And he's just on fire, knows Jesus, has never looked back on his life. A year ago, gave his dad a Bible, said, here's the thing that's been changing my life. You know what the power of the word, I wish we would all get this. It's not about a fancy sermon. It's not about a manipulative speech. When we just let the word do what it does, and so dad started just reading this thing. This ancient collection of manuscripts written by man, penned by God. Pretty sure he's read the whole thing. A couple days ago, individual said, hey, I'm going to go talk to my dad. Pretty sure he knows about Jesus, but I'm going to make sure. I'm going to ask if he wants to be water baptized. Went over to talk to his dad and said, hey, do you want to be water baptized? Dad said, I need to think about it. Fair, right? Very fair. 5 minutes later, dad calls and says, yeah, I want to be water baptized. So, today, not only marks when he's being water baptized, not only marks his birthday, but also marks the first time he's ever been to church. Because God is still moving. God is still moving. So dear Heavenly Father, I don't know what 2021 holds. I do know this, God. I'm probably going to be disappointed somewhere along the line. I'm probably going to be frustrated. Probably going to be annoyed. But I hope I never have resentment of expectations that I put on the world around me because I don't see what I want to see, so I don't trust what you're doing, and a lack of that trust will erode at my faith. But God, I recognize faith is the substance of things hoped for, even in the evidence of things not seen. So I pray for just everybody, if you're in our online community or sitting in our Collinsville campus right now, I pray for every person here right now to trust the fact that you are still moving, God. And we'll do everything in our power. We will do prayer. But God, we will not allow prayer to take away the jobs that we're supposed to be having in the sense of changing our life. We do pray for our politicians. We pray for those that are sick in this disease. We pray against racism right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to see those walls torn down once and forever, and that spirit of bigotry to be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, we will pray for those things, but tomorrow I choose to live the life that you've called me to. And in the places I don't see it, in the places where I get frustrated, God, I will not allow resentment to sink into my heart, but I'll allow faith to overtake my statements. So God, when it comes to my health, I trust you. When it comes to this building and complex, I trust you. God, when it comes to my family, My marriage, I trust you. When it comes to my finances, I trust you this day, God. And for the year 2021, God, I speak on behalf of the church right now. We trust you, our God and Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.